Now, the Bram Weinstein Show on Washington's new home for sports. ESPN 630.
Hey, babies. Hey, babies, hey, babies. Hi, everyone. Hi, everyone. Hi, everyone. Bram Weinstein Show at ESPN 630, presented by Flight by Yuengling. Raise the bar at the next generation of light beer. What's up, Callo? What's going on? What's going on?
Not much. You seem chipper today.
I just got breaking news from Page Six.
Oh.
Yeah. Kanye West has threatened to, quote, beat his estranged wife Kim Kardashian's new boyfriend Pete Davidson's ass.
Yes.
Just days after allegedly punching a fan.
Correct.
He wrapped it a teaser, quote, God save me from that crash so I could beat Pete Davidson's ass. I'd pay for it. I would pay for it. Pay for it. Over, I mean, Jake Paul, I'd pay for it. I would pay for it.
Look, man, I'm just going to stick up for Pete here. It's a two-way street. It ain't Pete Davidson's fault.
I don't understand his popularity. It infuriates me.
So you want Kanye West to throw hands?
No.
Please.
No, I don't want him to do that.
Okay.
I don't want him to do that. But I like the threat because I don't think Pete Davidson can respond to it. I think he has to say nothing, actually, here.
It's probably the smartest way to go, yes.
Yeah, there's no response. Like, he can't go on Saturday Night Live this week and rap something back to Kanye West. Yeah,
this is true, yes.
I would actually have full respect for him if he does, but I don't think he will.
You know what I would actually do if I was Pete Davidson? I would wear I would wear Yeezys and whatever else he's got that's Kanye branded
on the show.
And if you're Kanye, you can't really get mad at him because he just gave you a bunch of free advertising on Saturday Night Live.
I don't think he's going to do anything, but I feel like he has to do something. I don't know. He's just swimming in different waters now. So, you know, he's swimming in different waters. I also saw that Kim unfollowed Miley after Miley was with Pete Davidson on the New Year's Eve special.
Ooh, that's juicy.
So that's happening.
Why?
That's happening
too. They were working together.
He probably made a lot of money doing that show.
Yeah.
Like a lot of money doing that show.
Probably was a whole untapped audience that never heard of him before.
And it wasn't like there was a scene in the New Year's Eve show where he's making out with Miley Cyrus.
That's right.
Like that wasn't.
She lost
happening.
Her top at one point, but like
she did lose her top at one point.
There were other people there. There were other people there.
My son noted her professionalism in being able to not only catch it, but continue singing the song as she went and changed. If you have not seen this, actually, it's like a live, full-on wardrobe malfunction that she catches in the middle of a performance, walks off stage, never misses a beat, never misses a line, never misses anything, and comes back out wearing something else. It's actually pretty darn amazing. It really is.
I just love that your son picked up the cue on show business that was impressive.
He was like, what's going on here? And I'm like, that's not planned, you know? And he's like, and then when she came back out, he was like, wow. He's like, she's really good. Like, that's really incredible. Because, you know, most people would be like, hold on a second. You know, like,
right.
Hold on. Let's start this song over. All right. You know, like that. No, she didn't do that. She didn't do that. My son also, you know, got to see Saweetie, you know, for the first time perform live as well.
Down the days for that one, yeah.
Yeah, that was one of those where you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
All right.
A little much there. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's called twerking, son. Yeah. Yeah. I know we joked about it, but that's what it really looks like.
That's what it is. Yes.
Like, I know we've always had an inside joke about twerking, but you know, now that you see it in real life, you know, what do you think about that? So we had that moment on New Year's. Thanks, Miley and Pete. Appreciate it. Anyway, I like the Kanye West thing because but if he did rap on Saturday Night Live back to him, oh, it'd be on. But I don't think he will. That's my guess. I'm going to go with... If he infuriates Kanye, Kanye would go through with it. Pete Davidson's not really fighting Kanye West. Like, that's not really ever happening.
Right. Right. Exactly. I'm going to go with Pete also. A lot of Pete's relationships don't last, you know, longer than a couple months. And I'm just going to go with he's going to let nature take its course here and not really get too involved.
I think Pete knows that. Pete's like, I know I'm a rebound. He's like, you know, but like, it's a heck of a rebound for me. I'm with like the most famous person on social media ever. quite a rebound. You know, he's fine with it.
I mean, in
he's
a year,
totally fine with it.
A couple years, we're gonna have to compare who had the better starting nine, him or Jeter. And I mean, it's going to be very comparable. I'm just saying. So
yeah, yeah. Oh man, I think Pete's winning. Actually, I think Pete's winning.
You got to remember
Kim Kardashian. Come on, like. Come on, that's an exclusive level right there. That's a different level. Minka Kelly's great and all, but that's an exclusive level he's on. Ariana Grande and Kim Kardashian, that is quite a level that he's on.
I think I need to remind you of the starting nine that you know that ESPN put together.
Oh, but here's the thing. Here's the other thing, though, and like I understand why Jeter was this popular in his own sphere because he happened to be one of the best baseball players on one of the best teams for a very long time. And he seems like he's suave.
Can I remind you, though?
Pete Davidson is not that great of a comedian. I don't understand the talent and doesn't seem suave in the slightest bit. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Can I just remind you of Jeter, though? Just remind
all right,
you.
Give me the names. All right, give me the names.
Minka Kelly.
Right.
Jordana Brewster.
Uh-huh.
Adriana Lima.
Right.
Scarlett Johansson.
That's amazing. Uh-huh.
Hannah Davis.
Okay.
Tyra Banks.
Oh, yeah, wow, I forgot about
and
that.
And I saved the final three for last because at the time.
Right, because you got to load it. Because I think you recognize that while all of those women were moderately famous, but not Kim Kardashian famous, and all obviously beautiful, like you haven't hit the Kardashian stratosphere or even come close to it.
The final three.
Yeah.
Mariah Carey, Jessica Alba, Jessica Biel.
Okay, I can explain Mariah Carey a little bit.
Well, okay.
Okay, fine. I can explain that one a little bit. I think you know you don't need me to explain that one a little
That's
bit.
That's fine,
you
know? But I'm just saying.
Like she turned out to be a little different than what her perception was, all right? So,
sure.
You know,
sure.
Okay. So I'm going to put her in the other, even though I get it, very, very, very famous singer. I'm actually going to put her in a different category than the last two that you're talking about.
Okay.
Because I think she's a step below those two.
She's still around. Still around.
Yeah, but right. She's still around because her music is timeless. So she's always going to kind of be around.
Just saying, you know, like, she's a stunner.
As it turned out, and I wish Whitney Houston was alive, you know, but like her music is timeless. But as it turned out, her personality was a lot different than what you thought, you know, she was when she was a famous singer. You know, like she's a very different person in real life. I think Mariah Carey almost falls a little bit into that similar category of she isn't exactly what you think she is. Like,
that's
okay,
fine.
Who were the last two again? Who were the last
Jessica
two?
Jessica Biel and Jessica Alba.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, great. Yes. No, you make a good point.
I'm just saying.
I know. I hear you.
Scarlett Johansson was a throwaway that I used in the first half. That's what I'm getting there.
And that
Tyra Banks, do we
me.
Remember Tyra Banks? Like
Scarlett Johansson. I'm like, every time I see her, I'm like, do you think she'd like me? Because I really, if I could just get in a room with her, you know, 5 minutes, do you think she'd like me? All the rest of them, I'm kind of like, I know I've got no shot with them. But like,
if she wasn't,
Johansson, I don't know. I've convinced in my mind that I'd have a shot at Scarlett Johansson
you'd
if
have
I
to
actually
be,
got in a room alone with her.
You'd have to be super funny because she's married to Colin Jost on Saturday Night Live. So you'd have to be
hilarious.
I am
super funny, and you know this. I am super funny, and you know this.
I'm just saying, if she wasn't married.
If I had a team of writers, I'd be Colin Jost, too.
If she wasn't married to Colin Jost, Pete Davidson's probably dating her, too. We have our first crossover of him and Jeter. So
the thing is, with Jeter, I get it. Like, he has the qualities that typically go along with that type of roster of women that you've dated. Pete Davidson doesn't. That's the part I don't understand about it. That's what I don't get. I get why Jeter was so attractive. I don't get why this guy is. I don't understand it.
They're both,
I just don't.
In their own definition, very popular in New York. Very popular.
I mean, I read an article that the guy who plays Cousin Greg on Succession now, and if you know who I'm talking about, because he's tall and kind of awkward looking and plays this like almost, at least the first couple seasons, kind of like stepped on pitiful, naive character. He kind of grows into a different. Right. Okay.
Looks
apparently,
like
this guy.
A little Adam Driver-ish.
He's very tall, gawky.
Good looking,
but no one's, you know, calling him a model. You know, no one's looking at it. Nobody's going, that's Brad Pitt. Nobody looks at him and sees that. Apparently, killing it. Just absolutely.
It's on the most popular TV show out right now. I'm not shocked.
There you go.
Not
so, all right. So I hear you with the New York thing. I do hear you with the New York thing. And Jeter always, to me, he presented himself in a way where I totally get it. Like, I get it. The way he carries himself, he's just very suave, like, obviously really wealthy, obviously really talented, like, obviously knows how to deal with pressure. Like, I get it. Like, I totally get it with him. I do not understand the Pete Davidson thing for the life of me. I just don't. I see him, and I see a lot of people exactly like him, and I don't understand why he's been made a special. I just don't.
Well, it's
I
like
don't
the
know
third,
what it is.
I think it's like the third or fourth time you've opened the show talking about Pete Davidson for 10 minutes. So, I mean, clearly you have questions and envy at the same time.
It's not envy because I don't understand
it. There's some envy there. You're a little jealous.
I think everybody's envious of him because no one understands it. That's why I've read pieces about this where they're like, what is it? And nobody can explain it. So, like, when you say these are the people Derek Jeter dated, I could go, I could see that, and here are the reasons why. Like, when you say these are the people Pete Davidson dated, you're like, how did that happen? Like, how did that happen?
I told you, it's because he texts back fast. That's it.
How did he get them to text in the first place?
It's a chain. Clearly, if he dated Ariana Grande, he must be great. Clearly, if he dated Kate Beckinsale, he's great. Like, clearly, if Kim is hanging around, he's great.
Right. Yeah, okay, right. But this is why I don't understand it, because I'm like, there are plenty of, like, white SNL actors that don't have rosters like this.
Comedians are awkward, though, for the not for the most part. A lot of them are awkward, though.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, like I didn't hear Jason Sudeikis is dating, you know, Olivia. Like, he's not dating, like, all these hot women all over the place. Like, what is that? Like, he's more famous than Pete Davidson is. Like, I don't understand.
Sudeikis, though. No. You're once again burying it. Sudeikis was married to Olivia Wilde, man.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Take it back.
All these dudes.
Right.
If you're a comedian, I feel like you just have it.
I guess.
So.
I guess. Fine. Here's the part of it I don't get. I see why Jason Sudeikis is funny. I don't see how Pete Davidson's funny. That's the other part of it.
It's just a different
I see
kind.
Derek Jeter as a really good baseball player. I see Jason Sudeikis as a really funny comedian. I don't get it with this guy. Like, I don't I don't see the talent. I don't understand it.
Got it. Okay. Okay.
If there's any women that can explain this to me, I'm all ears. Tweet me, whatever. Tell me what it is. Like, what is it about this guy that makes him the most sought after bachelor on earth? Explain it to me.
I don't think I've ever heard you be so perplexed in a combination of mad and envious over one thing.
You don't have a good
sports
reason.
No, you can't explain it. I'm not getting worked up about it, though.
Look, like, I know why Kanye West is dating Kim Kardashian or married to her. He's Kanye West. I know who that. I know why.
Speaking of that, did you see the girl he's or woman he's dating now? Like, she blogged about their first or second date. Did you read about that?
No. What'd they do?
He scheduled like a whole photo shoot at the restaurant they were having dinner at, and then said, "What do you want to wear?" and had a hotel room with nothing but brand new designer clothes that she could pick out.
Wow.
Just like a flex of flex, just to like, you have more money than you know what to do with. And he just flexed it on a second date, essentially.
That's what I do on Friday nights. That's what I do. Yeah.
You rent out the presidential suite and it's filled with clothes for your wife. Got it.
Not
okay.
The presidential suite. It's a hotel at a Red Roof Inn, and it's all H&M. Okay, all H&M. Yeah, pick whatever you want though. One thing, and don't mess up anything else because it's all going back.
A little bit of Old Navy in there too. A little bit of Old Navy in the fold. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh huh. All right.
We got to return this all in an hour though. Hurry up.
Look, I'm not claiming. Anybody heard us yesterday, but we started this show asking a lot of very serious questions. Why is nothing happening here with this name reveal? Like, why?
Uh-huh.
And 24 hours later, we are having things happen now right here. So I'd like to think that we were listened to a little bit. And I like to think that I'm not the only voice that's sure. doing that. I think a lot of people are.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think, you know, clearly the message is now getting back to them. Oh, yeah, we're excited about this. We're your fan base. The Washington whatevers. Remember the Washington part of it? Remember that part of it? And it sounds like it finally got back there. And all of a sudden we have events on the day of at the stadium with what I would call a problem. There are no fans allowed to go to this thing.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a media event.
Correct. It's not.
It's not a fan event. And it's a media event that I'm glad Dan Snyder and Tanya Snyder are making an appearance at it because they still own the team. And this is a humongous day in the franchise's history. And they should be there talking about it and showing it off and everything. And they are not taking questions. Now, I know why, right. because this event would be about a lot of, would end up being about a lot of things that it's not about. So they're in a no-win situation. If they don't take questions, people go, they're not taking questions. And if they do, I know what some of the questions are.
Right.
And this day isn't about that.
Correct.
So I get it. So now that they're doing this, do you feel a little bit better about it? Because
No, I don't either. It's actually, this was the bare minimum you should have. So like,
oh, no doubt.
So now the media, you know, they do have a place to go. And granted, that includes you and me if we decide to go, right? So,
but well, like, Jason Wright's going to be there too. So there's part of me that feels like, is the Today Show thing going to emanate from FedEx Field?
I think
that must be what's happening.
Yeah,
now.
No, no, no. That's
I think we all thought when they were going to New York. I actually think they're going to go. We're going to go live to Landover, and here's Jason Wright with whoever.
Yes.
And here comes the big reveal, and they're going to do it there. And then when that's over, they're going to walk out and do a media event. That's what I think is happening.
That's what I just assumed. Like, I believe, because why would they go up to New York? That actually doesn't make any sense. You're going to have them via satellite or whatever.
Correct.
You know, reveal everything. And then, yeah, Jason Wright will talk to everybody and Dan and or Tanya will go out a side door and we won't talk to them at all whatsoever. And so
right, they're going to make a statement.
Uh-huh.
They're going to show off the helmet. They're going to call this, you know, humongous day, probably talk, you know, for a second about the process for a minute for them and how important it was, blah, 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 to come to this decision. And then they're going to leave.
Right.
And that's the end of it. And then Jason Wright, I assume, will answer questions at that point.
Yes.
Somebody's got to answer questions.
I would assume we're going to see...
somebody has to.
I would assume we're going to see Jason Wright and Ron Rivera and maybe some alumni, something like that. Or the alumni is going to be on Friday when that event's happening. Maybe that's where they're going to be. But
I would think.
Because we're going to hear... I bet you... Here, I'm going to just predict it. It's going to be Jason Wright. It's going to be Ron Rivera. It's going to be Doug Williams, I bet. But it'll be those three, because that way you get someone that's involved with the team and involved with the team on the field with Ron and someone like Doug who has been involved with the team for a while now and, of course, is part of the past. So I'm going to guess you probably get that combination there.
I still want to say, since now they're listening, you know, and like hearing these things,
sure.
Let me just
say again. They
didn't
tune out during our 10-minute rant on Pete Davidson, but yeah.
Possible. Whatever. Yeah. No, you know what? Those people over there might agree with me. No, you never know.
Okay, fair enough.
There might be someone over there going, he makes a good point. I don't understand it either.
Headline on TMZ tonight. Voice of Washington football team hates Pete Davidson.
I don't hate him. Oh, I don't hate. No. Don't get this wrong. I don't hate him. I don't understand it. I'm perplexed by it. As we do in the media now, I'm just asking questions.
That's fair.
I'm just asking questions. How is this happening? Why is this happening? Right. Someone explain it to me. Right. Give me a reason.
Anyways. All right.
Anyways, since they're listening, I will reiterate what I think. I'm glad you're doing this now. Okay. I'm glad you're doing this. This is good. It doesn't mean you still can't have reveal parties with people like me or Sheehan or the Junkies or Scott Abraham or Darren Haynes or whoever's at Channel 4 now. why can't you do this still? Can't you still do this? And have Smoot show up, Santana show up, hopefully McLaurin, Allen, Chase, Duran, whoever. Uh-huh. Like, why can't we have more is more here? This is a good day for the organization. It's a big day for the organization. Let's throw as much against the wall as possible. More is more. Right now, as it stands, as of 9:30 a.m., there's going to be two things that are going to be clips for everybody to use. Whatever happens on the Today Show and whatever Dan and Tanya Snyder say to the media in a prepared statement. And there's no immediate reaction. There's no fan reaction. None. Why? Like, this is a momentous thing that is happening. Why aren't we throwing a big reveal party all over the place, right? And right. It's fine. Today's show gets it first. Fine. Dan Snyder talks about it second. Fine. At 9:33, let me interview John Allen wearing the jersey. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? And then all the cameras are on him. And then he talks to Darren. Then he talks to Scott. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing here?
Well, and I would also say this. You're missing out on an easy slam dunk fan event as well. Let them ask questions to some of these guys, because they all have the same questions that the media has, if not, you know, similar ones. And it makes it an easy, feel-good event. Let a little kid ask John Allen what he likes most about the new jersey, you know? Like, it's just it just seems like when the layup is sitting there, sometimes this organization doesn't take it at all, doesn't even attempt it, and takes the ball outside of the gym and then never returns. That's what it seems like with this. I will say what I said 2 days ago as well. Plenty of time. Like, they can announce some of these things. Not unlike what happened today. Like, the Today Show thing got announced. Then they announced the, you know, the parking tailgating, you know, event thing that they're doing 2 days later. Like, I even said then that, hey, there was time, you know, to announce something else. And that happened today. And, you know, next week's another week. So I'm just crossing my fingers here that the right thing happens and it doesn't take too much planning to do that. I'm with you. Like, fans want to get together. There haven't been any amazing moments for this franchise that fans could bond over, because when they made the playoffs, we weren't allowed in. Like, I'm just saying, it's an easy thing to make good for some fans.
This isn't a criticism. It's pointing out you're missing an opportunity.
Correct.
And a really big one. And I don't get it. So, like,
every kid under 12 that shows up gets the new jersey. You know what that would do for your fan base moving forward? Like, little things like that would actually really, really help. Or they all get a free t-shirt. Like, it's very easy to get rid of some of that erosion that's happening.
All these fan ambassadors, who a lot of them have blogs and shows and all this stuff that you guys have included in this process, invite them somewhere.
Yep.
Get them in front of a couple players. Let them take some pictures, maybe some video. Ask a couple of questions. Guess what's all over all of their blogs and media then? Mm-hmm. Access to this day.
That's right.
You know, and like, I'm available. You want me to moderate it so that the questions don't get off kilter on you? I'm happy to do that.
Right.
We can talk about this type of stuff. I want it for my show. We want it for our station. The other two sports stations want it too. The other news stations all want it. They all want this. Why are you withholding it? What's the secret here? And nothing's going to break before the Today Show. It's going to happen first. But, like, we should be ready to go, armed and ready, the second it's announced at this reveal party or whatever. A couple of the players show up. Maybe an alumni is there. What is the, like, this is not a huge ask. I mean, that's the weirdest part of it. It's not a big ask to be prepared to take advantage of one of the biggest days in the franchise's history. And for some reason, it's being treated like it's super secret information that only the Today Show can know. And I hate to break it to you, but the second that segment is over, they're going to move on to something else and not reference it again, ever.
That's right. Yes, absolutely.
The next segment is going to be with some doctor about Omicron numbers.
That's right.
Or Joe Biden's polling. Like, they're going to move on.
Pete Davidson's dating a new Kardashian.
Yeah. You're not going to believe it, but Pete Davidson clapped back at Kanye West, and there might be a fight.
Coming up next,
Pete Davidson joins us.
And that's why everyone's actually going to be watching that hour.
And then he sticks out his tongue and he says something. We're not sure if he cursed on the Today Show or not. It was close, you know? And that's all anyone's talking about. So I'm not against the national reveal. I'm not against it. I understand why they're doing it. I am glad they've come around to, the local people. know, the majority of your fan base. And Dan and Tanya are coming. Great. Good. They need to make appearances. It's time. They're not going to take questions. Fine. I understand why. Jason Wright's going to be there. Great. Now I know that this thing is emanating from here and not from New York. That's good.
Yeah.
Where is the place where all of the local media, the bloggers, everybody, and the fans who want to show up, where can they be for the moment so that we can all share in this together? Why has that not happened yet?
Don't know. Don't know. I have free advice for them too, by the way.
I have a lot of free advice. You're hearing it.
No,
go ahead.
More that would go a long way with that would get people pumped for the entire offseason. Throw an event in Maryland, throw an event in D.C., throw an event in Virginia, throw an event at FedEx. And you know what I also say here, too? Everyone showing up to those things, first 50 people, something like that, you're going to the home opener. They don't even know who they're playing in the home opener. I'd say if you go to the shop, buy that new merch, spend over like, you know, $200, you name the number, free pair of tickets to the home opener. Yeah. Get people pumped to fill the stadium up with fans that care. I'm just saying there's a bunch of things 100%. That could go on here, and like doesn't take much. And like, granted, you know, wink wink to the league, say, hey, let's not make the Cowboys the home opener. We know the score here, but like, you know, I'm just saying it's an easy way to go about this to get your fan base at least a little bit more pumped in February than they would be otherwise.
Here's what I'm trying to say, okay? And I agree with you 100%. Those are all incredibly great ideas. Okay. Here's what I want to say to them, because I think I know what they're doing and I understand why. And I think it's a cart before the horse thing. They want this brand to grow into something bigger than it is. And it's not just NFL football. It's an entertainment brand. It's a lot of things. This is seed one of that. We're going to reveal this on the Today Show. That's why we're not doing it on WJLA or the NFL Network for that matter. We want to start planting these seeds. I get it. But as you try to do that, you cannot forget about the people that prop it up in the first place, your customer base. Your customer base is here. And secondarily, why you wouldn't want your main customer base to be part of the celebration with you when this happens, I don't understand it. This feels like a wedding is happening in your family. It's a close relation, and the party for the wedding is happening 2 days later, and we're not going to the nuptials.
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
I would also add,
like,
this.
It doesn't. Like, why can't? So this happens at 9 o'clock. Now we know it's happening at 8:30 or whatever, Dan Snyder's coming out at 9. Okay, right. Fine. At 9:30 in the morning, there should be Washington players, new and old, littered on every station everywhere, especially locally, talking about this, wearing the uniform, showing the helmet, talking to the fans, interacting, to your point, incentivizing them to buy tickets or get tickets. If you spend money buying a new Commanders, Admirals, Hogs, whatever it is, jersey, like, why that isn't happening? It feels like, what it feels like to me is, they have forgotten the big part of their fan base, that they've just overlooked that part of it. And they're seeing a bigger picture that isn't clear yet. You've got to, they colored outside the lines.
Right.
They forgot the circle. Like, guys, we want to celebrate this with you. Please let us, because we want to.
Right. Right.
I mean, I'm glad Dan and Tanya are doing something. I mean, you know.
It's a bare minimum. And obviously, it goes back to that conversation.
I agree.
It's a bare minimum.
Now we're doing the minimum again. I feel like some of the people over there don't see the localized and have a grand vision, but we're not there yet. Why aren't you taking us for the ride as you bring out the grand vision?
Now, I will say this. You know, I could be underestimating them, and maybe they do have a bunch of things that they're going to radicalize right after. Like, are they going to have people downtown handing out T-shirts and hats at the metro stations? Something like that. Uh-huh. I'll stand corrected, but I also know, this franchise, and I don't think they've even thought of that. You know?
I mean, on their social media, they could be like, there could just be like drops, like
totally
at this, go to this location right now. Go to this location right now. If you're in Maryland, go to this location right now.
One of the best things the Caps did like 3 or 4 years ago for the playoffs was drop one letter of all caps, I think it was, in different parts of the region. And if you went and found that letter, they would give you tickets to a playoff game. And it was crazy. Like, crazy. And then all the letters came together at cap one, and it was all caps, whatever the hell it was.
Well, easy. I guess.
Just say, listen, easy things like that.
I'm not trying to lecture. I'm just offering advice. It's not a criticism. I'm just asking, why are you not taking your fan base on the ride with you?
That's perfectly spoken. Who want to get on the ride, by the way. Because there are
some
you and I have talked about, happy to leave them behind because they don't seem to want to be here. There are
it's just, you're trying to sell tickets to the stadium. The vast majority of those people live here. What are we doing? Why is this not a giant celebration? Like, 2 days later, I didn't go to a New Year's Eve party on January 3rd.
What? Right. One thing I'll say, too.
What's going on?
What it says,
Christmas is December 25th, not December 28th.
One thing I'll say, too, because there are, you know, there's been a million tweets over the past week or so. And one of them has been a good point that has been pointed out by multiple people. To me, the way it looks like right now, that you have a media event at FedEx Field, and then you're going to have the reveal on the Today Show.
Yeah.
None of it involves fans. It is basically saying perceptually you're afraid of what the fan reaction is going to be to the new name, which is the worst approach I've ever seen.
I hope you're not right about that, but perceptually it's hard to argue with you, because
if you're afraid of that,
you think if you're going to have everybody around and then people get mad about it, that looks really bad. Well, then you're not confident in what you're putting
out.
That's
right. And you're afraid that if you get booed on that first, you know, showing, everyone's going to hate it. Wow. And it doesn't matter what you do. And what I would argue back with them is say, okay, if you're afraid of that, I think it's a valid concern, because I think if you're not looking at it from that lens, fine. I need you to then go through to all of your season ticket holders, to all your fan ambassadors, and you need to invite them to one place.
Yes.
And even gum it up and say, hey, guys, whether you really are in love with this or not, we need a really good reaction from you guys. It'll do wonders to push this out. And you know what everyone's going to say? Fine. Happy to do it for you.
Yeah.
And you throw them a t-shirt and you throw them a hat or whatever.
Hat and a t-shirt. They're wearing it on their blogs.
That's
They're wearing
right.
it on their website. Uh-huh. They're wearing it on their shows.
Uh-huh. Do you need a couple to give away on your platforms? Yeah. We'll give those to you, too.
Yeah.
And yeah. That's what I'm like. It ain't hard. That's why I think you and I are so kind of, like, you can hear the frustration. Like, and granted, as I said, they have time to make good on all of this. But, like,
yeah, they do.
Perceptually, that's what you're afraid of.
That's why it needs to be said now.
Yes.
Right. That's why it needs to be said now. You have time to fix this. You do. Just do it, and I'll, you know, we'll all kind of laugh. Ha, ha, ha. You're listening again, and you're doing it. But, you know, at least you're doing it.
Right.
At least you're doing it.
Christopher tweets in at RealRMW, hold a reveal party at the Anthem in D.C.
Yeah, let's go. We did a draft party there. And to the point of, we're afraid we're going to get booed. You know how many draft picks get booed every single year, and many
right.
of them turn out to be totally fine for their teams?
Correct.
The Jets fans boo every single draft pick they make almost universally.
And to Chris's point, if they're worried about COVID and stuff, FedEx Field is sitting right there. I'm telling you, fans will be outside for it if you tell them that they have to be outside for it.
I don't understand. I really don't. I don't get it. And so since they're listening over there, please, 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 it's just free advice here. Please. We want to get on the hayride with you and go with the bounces. Please.
We would like for you to succeed.
Yeah, we would like for you to succeed. Please. You will take me to Tanya Snyder now. Okay?
This is not the owner you're looking for.
Yes, not the owner you were looking for. It is the owner I'm looking for. You will take me to Tanya Snyder now. I will take you to Tanya Snyder now. Okay.
This fan base is like Boba Fett reaching his hand out from the Sarlacc pit.
That's right.
They want to just get on with their lives, but they do want to be there.
No, this is episode one of the Book of Boba Fett. We're not sure who's supposed to give the tribute. It's like you're asking us to give you the tribute, and we're asking you to give us the tribute.
That's right. But their tribute to us is to not invite us.
Why are we not invited to the party? Okay, that's all I want to know.
Not
why
literally you and me,
are we
but
not
the fan
invited
base.
To the party?
Because you and I are invited to the party.
I haven't been invited to anything. I don't even know what you're talking about. I haven't been.
I meant the name, like the media event. We could go to that if we wanted
I
to.
I could go to that. Yeah. Well, saying. I could go, you know, I don't have
you
any
and
special
I,
invitation.
You
to
and
anything.
I stand with the people a lot of the time. So
yeah. I don't know what's going on. I can't figure it out. It feels like there's a room of people that are very, very insular thinking about this and not, you know, not getting outside of that circle for a second and just considering in the shoes of a fan, what would they think right now? I don't think anyone's thinking that at the moment.
I would also say
and maybe
this.
They have time to change it. They've got a few weeks to change it. And how hard would it be to put together any of the things we're talking about? It wouldn't be. It isn't. We're not asking for some big gala. Like let's just call up a place where we could go and tell all these people to show up there and they will. This isn't that hard.
I'd say this even too, you know, like you could even just tell people, hey, it's going to be on sale first at FedEx Field. Be there a few minutes early and, you know, we'll give you something or whatever that is.
Yeah.
There's plenty of time to do it, but it just seems like it's not going to come together. It seems like it's a party that's 2 days away and you haven't heard any details about.
You know what's unbelievable? I feel like I'm getting more advance notice and more invitation to watch RFK get blown up next year than I am to find out what the new name is.
That is done by a different organization that's really good at their job.
Still?
So.
Woo. Woo.
I mean,
you know, it's like I don't understand this the way I don't understand Pete Davidson's attractiveness. It's the same thing to me. Same. I don't understand it.
I would say this honestly, though, because
I come to the party? I don't understand. Where is the party? Is it a secret? You must be holding it somewhere.
It's 2 weeks from this upcoming Wednesday. I would say by the end of next week, if you don't have something concrete. If I'm a bar or a event space around the city,
let's go.
I'm starting to plan something on my own. Like
I would do that now anyway. I would get ahead of it because you've got the void where you have this moment where you're like, we're gonna have a reveal party at 9:30 in the morning. Show up here. We're gonna have breakfast if you do want to drink at 9:30 in the morning, it's half price.
Let's go.
half price, whatever you want.
That's right.
At 9:30 in the morning.
That's right.
Let's go.
New name, new beginnings would be my t-shirt.
Uh-huh.
Just the date
new
on
beginnings.
It, wherever I'm at. And then there you go. Find a local t-shirt place.
Oh, man.
We might need to actually plan this. Where can we?
I'm going to have to do this now.
We should talk.
Rogue party.
You know what we should really do? I'm just going to say it out loud. We should ask Poho, and we could take over the outside part of Bethesda there.
I'm sure he'd be happy to do it.
That outside part of Bethesda will be wide open, outdoors.
Yeah.
Only takes a couple people to sling some drinks that morning.
I agree. And you know what? Like, I hate to, you know, not that they're going to give me anything to give away. I'd give it away to you if I could.
Right. Of course.
You know, and the other part is I just, you know, like, I think a representative of the alumni or current team should be there to talk about it.
I'm sure we can invite some of them. You and I know some.
Oh, man. This is
the unofficial New Beginnings party.
Because there is no official New Beginnings party.
Right. That's right.
This would be like we've decided that we're just not going to have 2022. It's still 2021.
That's right. Exactly. it's all been a dream.
Yeah. We're all in a matrix anyway. What's the difference? It's all a computer simulation.
That's right.
Who cares? All right. Wow. 3:39. Okay.
Just let you go on that one because, you know, I could.
I'll take a quick break, and then you'll tell me what we're doing on the other
last
side of that
next. Last
segment
of the hour coming up next.
Got it. All right. Brave Watch the Show, ESPN 630, Sports Capital. Brave Watch the Show, ESPN 630, presented by Flight by Yuengling. Raise the bar with the next generation of light beer. 4 o'clock, John Keim is going to join us for... I'm not going to make him do this every Friday. I make him do it every during the season, but it is the first Friday of the off season. There was a lot of talk this week, and He got a sit down with Ron Rivera yesterday, and I want to play a clip from it here on one specific topic. Yep. It'll be part of what we talk about at the top of the hour. And I want you to hear this. It's about a 3-minute clip. And he asks him about Chase Young, which let me set up by saying, and we talked about this here over the last week, it's obvious there is a disconnect going on here. When Ron Rivera said, we want him to show up to the OTAs, and then he said, I'm thinking about it.
It's like talking back to your parents there a little bit.
It was. And I'll reiterate here, I'm Team Rivera on this one. I think I'll let Rivera say actually what yeah. I exactly think he's saying, because you'll hear it in this clip. But when I heard that, I'm sitting there going, this guy doesn't get it, what he means to this team. That put aside like the whole, you know, voluntary, involuntary, all this stuff. Like, there is an all-in part of this. And because he is a different player here, and because there's a lot of expectations on him, he may think this is unfair. I don't think it is. I think they want him to embody the franchise and be a leader of the franchise. And I don't think that that's something that he should push back against. I think he should take that as a compliment. And it is the reality and the truth that someone of his talent level and his ties to the area and his, you know, what the fans look at him as hope, you know, that things are going to turn around. I think it's his responsibility to take that on. That if he really wants to be a great and he really wants to lead this franchise, you know, back to a promised land, he needs to put in the time, the work, the effort, and the leadership to do so. And I didn't like him saying that the other day. So I'm 100% Team Rivera on this, that doesn't compute to me a little bit that he's saying that right now,
right?
Especially off of this year, where I don't blame him for getting hurt, but the first half of the year, I kind of do blame him for his performance. One sack, like not getting a tremendous amount of pressure, criticized over and over for you're not being you out there. So take a listen here. This is Ron Rivera with John Keim on his podcast, The John Keim Report. Specifically, he talked about a lot of subjects, but specifically here about the relationship with him and Chase Young.
I think the biggest thing with Chase more than anything else is again, it's understanding the role and what it requires more than anything else. You know, he's a guy that, you know, put a lot of pressure on himself, and I think the expectations really got to him, because as you know, things didn't happen as quickly as he had hoped. You could see him really press, and I think it's just getting an understanding and a feel for what does he have to do to help make himself successful. And part of it to me is, hey, understanding, you know, what's your role in this whole thing, as opposed to what's expected. You know what I'm saying? It can't be about, oh, they expect 10 sacks. Well, you know, how do I get them? Well, if I play just this role where I'm here and this is what I'm doing, man, I'm not going to get that. So he's going to get impatient. No, we just got to stick with it, trust it. And that's one of the things that, you know, we've got to get him to understand, because he's a young man that's got such dynamic talent.
Yeah.
And really, you know, and I say this, is the play doesn't care who makes it. So if I'm where I'm supposed to be, the play can come to me. And that's one of the things that, you know, young guys that want to make plays have to understand. You know, you can want to make a play all you want, but you've got to make it within the confines of what we do. Because if not, they can find that hole. They can find that opening. They can find that place that they can, you know, exploit.
It doesn't seem like it'd be hard for him to get back to the trajectory he was on after his rookie year. Just in some ways, and you talked about this too, the stutter stepping, kind of go back to the violent strikes. How quickly could he get back to that in your mind?
Oh, I think quickly. I think the thing that, you know, and part of our discussions, you know, my talking with him was, you know, you're a power player. Use that. Use what you do best. He's got a great get off. He plays with good leverage and he's got good strength. Let's use that. Let's not take one of your strengths and not use it to the best of its ability. I mean, to me, when you want to counter and be a finesse guy, you're not taking advantage of what you do best. Now, there's a time where you can use it and incorporate it, where you come out, you might stutter, and all of a sudden you go from the stutter to power, use a long arm technique, or you come out and you stutter and then you use an underneath move where you rip through it. Now you're incorporating what you do best to me, and that's your power. And that's what he is. He is a power player. And somewhere along the lines, you know, somebody told him, hey, man, use this and do this. And, you know, and let's don't think about this. Let's go and do what you do naturally. That's my message to him, because he's such a dynamic player.
How receptive has he been to those discussions?
Oh, he's been great. He really has. He came in and we sat down and we started talking. And I told him, I said, you know, dude, you remind me so much of Cam Newton, a guy that just wants it so bad, but has to learn the way to go about it. Mm. Once Cam figured it out, man, you know, he had that stretch for his first seven seasons where he was terrific. And then unfortunately he hurts the shoulder. Right. With Chase, he wants it so bad that I think once he understands how to go out and really accomplish those things and work within, you know, what we do and how we do it, it's going to benefit him even more. And the light bulb will go off. And when it does, he can get back to form. He's going to be dynamic.
Okay. So that's Ron Rivera. The vast majority of that conversation was about him on the field. And the tone, if you read into tone, sounds like there's not a real problem here. But I think we can all acknowledge that Chase isn't acting as if he's all in yet. And I think that to me is, if you're looking for what are the biggest questions of the offseason, him buying in, all in, trusting what's happening in the building is to his benefit and will benefit the team, taking on more of a literal leadership role, and not one just in name and not one just because he gets on camera a lot, but taking on a literal leadership role, fixing whatever's going on with that defensive line unit as a group so that they are more in tune with one another, and of course getting a quarterback. That to me is the single biggest issue that this team needs to rectify. And if they figure out a way to get that defensive line to buy in together, and specifically him to buy in as what he means to this franchise, then I think you're going to see a jump next year that we thought we were going to see this year, at least defensively. And so I hear him on it, and I agree with him on this. And I did not at all understand the "I'm not sure if I'm going to show up to OTAs" thing from Chase Young. I didn't get it. And it read to me like you're talking back to your parents. And yes. I don't really understand it. And if he has a specific problem with something that's going on, not that I need to know about it or publicly we need to know about it, whatever that is, it's got to get rectified. He's an important, important presence here. And he needs to understand it's more than just the games from September to January. He needs to be an important presence here and set a tone for everybody else. And that's why they want him here. Not only so he gets better and he shines and he does better, but that everyone else sees that the most important, most dynamic player on the team is all in. That's how you build a program. That's how it works. When the best player wants to be there and be the leader and be the example, everyone else falls in line. When the best player doesn't, it's a problem. And I know that's not what he signed up for, and that's not what the CBA says with the players union. But what Ron is saying, and what I would reiterate and echo, is this doesn't apply to you. You need to be the leader of this team. But the only way to do that is to make your presence felt year round here. And no one's taking opportunity away from you. No one's going to tell you not to shoot that $1 million commercial. But when the team meets and gets together, we want to see you. We want your presence there. And we want everyone else to follow your lead. Can you do that for us?
The cultural rebuild literally starts and ends with him.
Yes.
You need a guy like him to be going above and beyond to make other guys go, huh, I need to be working yes. more like that guy.
Yes.
And here's, like, really, too, what I think, why I think Rivera has kind of thrown the barb like he did with Haskins. Chase lives here. He's from here. It's not like he's coming in from California and, you know, when he's over here, he's over here. He's from the area. Like, there's no excuse. He bought a house here. Like, I'm not one to, you know, harp on that type of thing often, but, like, there isn't an excuse. You can make demands to other things, so you can make sure you're here for that, or you make sure you're here working out all the time. I mean, I'm with you. The second overall pick needs to act like the second overall pick.
Yes, he does. Like, in the case of Terry McLaurin, who also is team leader, very important for the future of the franchise. If he were to miss a day or two in OTAs, and not that I'm suggesting he will, but like if he were, I see what he's doing and I see how he's producing. I feel less inclined to have this conversation with him than I do with Chase Young, where you've got to make it about the unit. You have to make it about the unit, because if you don't, nobody will. You're the best player on the team. You're the guy that has hope placed on him. You're the guy they do sports-centered features about. You're the guy who's going to get all these opportunities because you're the face of the franchise. You need to act like it. And the only way to act like it is to be there and be it. And, you know, as Rivera said at the end of that clip, you know, he really wants it. He really, really, really wants it. And I believe that. And I see that. That's why I was so excited about him after his rookie year. I'm like, this guy puts the work in. Like, this guy isn't, this is no joke. He's not just leaning in on his athletic ability. This second year was really disappointing in what we were hearing about him, how he was not exactly playing within the context of the defense. He was not, you know, using the best part of his skill set, which is he should be overpowering people consistently. He wasn't doing that against the better judgment of the coaching that was happening. And he wasn't there for the offseason stuff. And all of a sudden he's claiming, I'm not sure I'm going to be there again this time.
Right, right.
I'm sorry. I'm not receptive to it. I'm not sympathetic to it. You can get the commercial shoot done at a time when the team is not getting together. The offseason is long. You know it. We know it. We want you. This isn't a criticism, Chase. It's an opportunity. We want you to be Mr. Everything here.
Well, I think it's,
but
it's,
you got to want that too. That's what's important now. You have to want that.
It's also worth noting, though, he probably isn't going to even really be asked to do anything. He's probably still going
to
be
practicing.
Rehabbing.
He's hurt. No one's asking him to practice.
All they want
They're
is
not gonna
his
ask him to practice on an injured knee. They just want him there in the meetings. Right. In the room, talking to the young guys, working with Payne and Allen and Sweat, hearing out what the new game plans are going to be as they install new things, meeting the rookies. They just want him there to be the team leader. It's not a big ask. It really isn't. They're asking him to be a leader. That's a good thing. They're asking him to be all in. All right, we'll talk to John Kime about it next. Pray watch the show. He's been 630 Sports Capital.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.